Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Windows Deployment Services Technical Overview. My name is Valerie Lee. Since the release of Windows 2000, deployment technologies have been continually refined and improved. These improvements have culminated into the new technologies called Windows Deployment Services, released with Windows Vista and Windows Server codename Longhorn. Today, we are going to start off by outlining the history of deployment technologies. We will explore how the technologies have evolved and outline the benefits of the newest deployment solutions and how they interact with other available technologies. Then we will go into more technical detail of Windows Deployment Services, or as we will commonly refer to it, WDS. Windows Deployment Services consists of three components: the server, client, and management components. Throughout this session, we will explore these different facets of WDS and show how they work together to simplify the deployment of images throughout your organization. How does WDS simplify deployment? After we have introduced WDS, we will explore some key functionalities that facilitate easier deployment. These include network boot, image creation and management, and the ability to perform unintended installations. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. Windows Deployment Services is the newest release of RIS Server. So a basic understanding of how RIS Server or a similar deployment solution works would be helpful as we discuss the new features of WDS. WDS has been released with Windows Vista and Windows Server Longhorn. Because Windows Server Longhorn is the newest server operating system, an understanding of Windows Server 2003 administration will ease you into administration with Windows Server Longhorn. Finally, WDS works with the Windows Pre-Installation Environment, or Windows PE, to capture and install images. WDS works with version 2.0 of Windows PE, but a general understanding of the way the computer acts while in this environment with any version of Windows PE will be helpful. To cover the topics mentioned and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda items. First, we are going to give an introduction to WDS. To provide a big picture view, we will give a history of operating system deployment leading up to WDS. Just because WDS is the newest deployment solution, you may wonder where's the benefit in using it over the previous solutions. So we will address that as well. WDS takes advantage of the Windows Imaging or WIM file format. To prepare for the technical overview later in the session, we will also give you a general overview of this file format. WDS is actually made up of several components to form a unified deployment solution. We will explore each of these components to see how they interact. The management component of WDS is simplified to provide an easy solution for administrators. Lowering the total cost of ownership provides great advantages for the entire organization. In this section of the session, we will show how using the simplified management with WDS will allow companies to reap these benefits. For many years, Microsoft has offered solutions for script-based installation. For example, WinNT32 offers the ability to customize your installation through various ANSR files. However, we began to recognize that customers typically use this technology once to capture their system and then do mass deployments using images. Then came the introduction of the Remote Installation Services, or RIS Server, which supported script or file-based deployment. The file-based images were managed on the RIS Server. This worked with Windows 2000 to install a local copy of the operating system to other computers from remote locations. With RIS, a client computer would contact a DHCP server for an IP address and then contact a boot server to install the operating system. Next, Automated Deployment Services, or ADS, introduced a sector-based image format. ADS is an add-on to Windows Server 2003 Enterprise Edition that provided a solution for deploying Windows Server operating systems. With support for script-based mass server administration, ADS also enables administrators to administer hundreds of servers as if they were one. The ADS solution was administrator-initiated, whereas the RIS server deployment was user-initiated. Then Microsoft released the XP embedded product, which was also sector-based but was specific to deploying embedded devices. With the introduction of SMS Operating System Deployment, or OSD, we saw the first release of the WIM format. As opposed to the other sector-based formats, this WIM format was file-based. However, this format was specific to the SMS release, and it didn't work well across the other deployment solutions. We then recognized the need to have a single deployment format with a single set of tools that can be used across all Windows deployment solutions. There were various design goals around how to build an image format and what needed to be enabled within that format. First, there needed to be a unified format that could be used across all Windows deployment solutions. With this in mind, we developed the Windows Imaging Format. This WIM image format is hardware agnostic, meaning that you need only one image to address many different hardware configurations. File-based means there isn't any disk or file system structure information stored within the imaging format. All interaction with the image, such as capturing and applying the image, occurs through the physical disk's file system. Storing redundant data within an image uses up disk space, so the goal with the new Windows image format was to reduce the need to store this redundant data. The WIM image format can also store multiple images within one file, making image management easier and saving disk space. A situation where you might want to have multiple images would be if you wanted to have an image that contains the Windows Vista operating system and another image that contains the organization's core applications. You can also mark one of the images as bootable, allowing you to start a computer from the disk image contained in a WIM file. In addition, the WIM image format enables compression and single instancing, thus reducing the size of image files. Single instancing is a technique that stores only a single instance of a file, even though it may be used in multiple images or multiple locations. It eliminates duplicate files by using SHA-1 hashing, where all files are hashed and duplicate files are only stored once. Finally, with the understanding that modification and servicing of images can be extremely costly, we developed tools for the Vista release to reduce these costs and allow you to modify the images without having to boot into them and recapture them. This brings us to the introduction of WDS. But first, let's look at the timeline of the technologies leading to today's solutions. Historically, there have been three overlapping solutions with dissimilar infrastructures and gaps in functionality. New releases of these solutions were used to address critical short-term SMS and ADS needs. However, the same problems still existed. The goals of the new releases of deployment solutions revolve around unifying the infrastructure. This was accomplished by consolidating into two clearly differentiated solutions. SMS has been designed for medium and large organizations with advanced scenarios, and ADS scenarios have been largely incorporated into SMS. Remote Installation Services, or RIS, was the original in-box solution for operating system deployment, but it had its own problems and limitations. The most immediate was the fact that there wasn't support for Windows Vista deployments. Other problems included a lack of management tools, minimal localization and accessibility, and fragmentation of Microsoft Preboot Execution Environment, or PXE, boot strategy. Windows Deployment Services is the updated and redesigned version of RIS. It assists with the rapid adoption and deployment of Windows operating systems. It can be used to set up new computers through a network-based installation without having to be physically present at each computer and without having to install directly from CD media. The WDS platform was designed for medium and large organizations and core OEM scenarios. WDS was developed to deliver a great inbox operating system provisioning solution, while also providing platform components to enable custom solutions. Let's highlight some of the new features of ADS. In this demonstration, we will upgrade an existing Windows Server 2003 RIS server to run Windows deployment services. We currently have a Windows Server 2003 server on our network running in WDS legacy mode, meaning that it is running remote installation services natively on the server. In order to upgrade to Windows deployment services in preparation for Windows Vista, we'll need to run the Windows deployment services or WDS patch for Windows Server 2003. The tools you need for Windows Vista deployment are now included in the Business Desktop Deployment 2007 Solutions Accelerator, available for download from the Microsoft website. BDD 2007 includes the Application Compatibility Toolkit, User State Migration Tools, and Windows Automated Installation Kit, or WAIK. Within the Windows Automated Installation Kit files, you can find the patch needed to upgrade RIS to WDS. As for the rest of the WAIK, we've already installed the necessary components as part of our setup for this session. These components include an update to the Microsoft.NET framework, an update to the Microsoft XML parser, and WAIK itself. The WDS update doesn't require any information from you or additional configuration. It simply replaces the RIS system files within the framework used by WDS that will be native on Windows Server Longhorn. The update requires a reboot, so we'll return to the server shortly to explore the WDS server. WDS includes the Windows Deployment Services Microsoft Management Console, or MMC, snap-in, providing rich management of all WDS features. Windows Deployment Services provides several enhancements to the RIS feature set. These enhancements support the deployment of Windows Vista and Windows Server Longhorn operating systems. First, there is native support for Windows PE as a boot operating system. WDS unifies on a single image format, taking advantage of the new WIM file format. There is also an extensible and better performing Pixie server component. Finally, there is a new client menu for selecting boot operating systems. We will look at each of these features throughout this session. These new features introduce greater benefits to using WDS in your organization. Reducing costs is always a common objective in organizations. New products are continually released to help organizations achieve this goal. With previous deployment solutions, organizations had to utilize several solutions or risk losing some functionality. With WDS, only one deployment solution is needed for most situations. This reduces the total cost of ownership while also reducing the complexity of deployments. As new operating systems are released, organizations may have computers running different versions at the same time. WDS addresses this issue by supporting mixed environments, including Windows XP and Windows Server 2003. WDS provides an end-to-end solution for the deployment of Windows operating systems to both client and server computers. In addition, WDS has the ability to deploy the Windows operating system to bare metal computers. In other words, computers without an operating system installed. As an organization grows, the deployment solution needs to be able to continue to provide the necessary support. WDS provides this extensibility through several features. First, the scalable Pixie server is built on a unified architecture. Replaceable plugins augment core networking functionality. Also, it can run without Active Directory. WDS allows organizations to create deployment solutions that work best for their specific needs. WinPE Pixie boot files are available for third-party Pixie server use, and the client-server communication protocol allows you to develop a custom deployment application. A WDS environment consists of several components. Now that we have introduced WDS and looked at some of the features and benefits of this new solution, let's examine the environmental components. Windows Deployment Services is the feature name for a suite of components that work together to enable the deployment of Windows operating systems, particularly Windows Vista. These components fall into three categories. Server components include a pre-boot execution environment, or Pixie server, and Trivial File Transfer Protocol, or TFTP server, for network booting a client to load and install an operating system. Also included is a shared folder and image repository that contains boot images, installation images, and files that you need specifically for network boot. Client components include a graphical user interface that runs within Windows PE and communicates with the server components to select and install an operating system image. Finally, management components are a set of tools that you use to manage the server, operating system images, and client computer accounts. The server component consists of several elements. Windows Deployment Services relies on pre-boot execution environment, or Pixie, technology to allow a client computer to network boot and remotely connect over a TCP/IP network connection to a Windows Deployment Services server in order to install an operating system. Therefore, the client computers using this process must support remote booting with a Pixie ROM. The WDS server service includes the core Pixie server, an image store, and the communication protocol. Transport protocol during Pixie boot and WinPE download is called Trivial File Transfer Protocol, or TFTP. TFTP is a service protocol used to transfer the files needed to remotely boot, maintain, and troubleshoot a client computer. There is also a file share on the server that contains Windows PE boot images, Windows installation images, and related management files. Finally, there is Windows Server Longhorn RMT integration. Client features include a client setup application that runs within WinPE. There is also a special mode of Windows Vista Image-Based Setup, or IBS. This mode allows deployment of Vista and Windows Server Longhorn and down-level images. Included is logic to communicate with WDS server. The IBS mode drives the client setup experience with a user interface flow that is unique to WDS installations. Client setup has the option to select languages and regional options, which allows for changing keyboard layout and input device, WDS client user interface language, and installing language packs on Windows Vista and Windows Server Longhorn. Finally, there is automation using unattend.xml settings, which we'll look at in more detail later in this session. The first step in beginning to use WDS in your organization is to set up the WDS server. During this demonstration, we'll explore the default state of a Windows Deployment Services server after the upgrade from RIS. We'll configure the server so that it can continue to deploy operating system images as necessary, and then see how you can still add legacy operating systems to support Windows XP and Windows Server 2003. In the earlier demonstration, we upgraded an existing RIS server to WDS. This update adds two shortcuts to the Administrative Tools container on the Start menu, one for the WDS console and the other for WDS legacy configuration. The WDS console starts with no servers added. You can add multiple WDS servers to the console and manage your entire Windows deployment infrastructure from a single computer, either locally on the server itself or from your normal Windows XP computer. Our next step will be to configure the WDS server for its first use. This configuration can be done either using the Windows Deployment Services Configuration Wizard or by using WDS util at the command prompt. Running WDS has a number of requirements. Most of these will already be present on your typical network, such as DHCP, DNS, and Active Directory. For the storage of your images, you need to provide an NTFS formatted partition separate from the partition on which the operating system resides. The wizard automatically detects the location of our existing remote installation folder. If this folder did not exist on the server, the wizard would automatically suggest placing the remote install folder on the partition with the most free space available. The default configuration of WDS assumes that the DHCP server and the WDS server are on separate physical computers. When DHCP and WDS exist on the same computer, DHCP must inform the client computer that there is a PXE server listening on the network by including DHCP option tag 60 in the DHCP offer packet. Because DHCP listens on port 67 by default, when WDS and DHCP exist on the same computer, the WDS PXE server is not able to listen on port 67 for incoming PXE boot requests. PXE server settings are configured on the PXE Response Settings tab of the Server Properties page, as we'll see in a moment. These settings determine which clients WDS responds to and what action is taken when responding to an unknown client. Choose the For Unknown Clients, Notify Administrator and Respond After Approval option along with Respond to All Known and Unknown Client Computers if you want to approve new clients before allowing them to receive boot services from a Windows Deployment Services server. As the wizard completes, it will commit our settings on the WDS server and restart the WDS service. After this is done, we can choose to immediately add a new image to the WDS server. We'll do this in a moment after exploring the server level settings. Each WDS server can be configured separately using the Server Properties dialog box. Note that the server is running in mixed mode. Don't worry about trying to get the server running in native mode, since both provide exactly the same WDS functionality. The mixed mode means that we have had a RIS server with an image added. The WDS server would be considered to be in native mode if we never imported an image or if we deleted all legacy operating system images. We set the PXE response policy in the configuration wizard. The Do Not Respond setting will prevent the server from responding to any client requests. The Respond Only to Known Client Computers option requires you to pre-stage clients in Active Directory. The option we selected directs the WDS server to respond to all client requests, whether they are known or unknown, meaning pre-staged or not pre-staged. If you want to ensure that each client computer is given a unique computer name, you can set automatic naming options. By default, WDS will require a user to authenticate to Active Directory. To ensure a unique computer name, WDS will base the computer account name on the user's name. You can alter this to base the computer name on the MAC address, the user's first or last name, the username, or an incremental number based on how many computers the WDS server has deployed. When a client Pixie boots to the WDS server, the server will provide a simple boot program based on the client architecture. The boot program or boot images can be specified on the boot tab. Windows Deployment Services allows you to automate both the Windows Deployment Services client and the later stages of Windows setup. This two-phase approach is accomplished by using two different unattended installation files. The Windows Deployment Services unattended installation file is stored on the Windows Deployment Services server in the WDS client unattend folder and is used to automate the first phase of setup. The DHCP tab contains the settings we discussed earlier. The Advanced tab provides options for how WDS will discover domain controllers and global catalog servers on the network. By default, WDS will query DNS for the closest domain controller. You can also authorize the WDS server in DHCP. We mentioned earlier that running WDS in mix mode allows you to add RISC-based deployment files on the server. This is done through the Windows Deployment Services Setup Wizard. The requirements for adding an operating system in this way is similar to that of WDS itself, except this option requires the Windows installation media, whereas WDS typically works with Windows imaging or WIM files. You can also perform some diagnostic checks on the WDS server from this wizard. These diagnostic checks will attempt to find and correct any incorrect configuration issues. We'll provide the location of the Windows installation files. In this case, they are on the CD. WDS will copy the installation files to a specific folder. You can name this folder after the operating system, the target installation group, or whatever makes logical sense in your organization. On the next page, enter an image name and description, which will appear in the WDS console. Since we already have a Windows Server 2003 image from our original RIS server, we can choose to overwrite or keep the old client installation screens. This is all the information the wizard needs to add the legacy operating system to the WDS server. Since this process can take several minutes to complete, we'll cancel the wizard at this point and leave the old RIS image as it is. If you want to view the legacy RIS images, they can be found in the Legacy Images folder. Legacy images refer to the format of the image rather than the version of Windows. You can create native WDS images for Windows XP and Windows Server 2003, but those images must be created as WIM files. Windows PE is built from Windows Vista components, providing a robust, flexible, and familiar environment. In fact, Windows PE can run many Windows Vista applications, detect and enable most modern hardware, and communicate across Internet Protocol or IP networks. Windows PE typically consumes less than 100 megabytes of disk space and can run entirely from random access memory, or RAM. enabling you to insert a second CD that contains drivers or software. These features enable Windows PE to run on computers that do not currently have a formatted hard disk or installed operating system. An IT department could configure a Windows Deployment Services remote deployment infrastructure, create a configuration script, and build a custom Windows PE image to enable a highly automated deployment process. The process begins when a new computer is connected to the network. The built-in pre-boot execution environment, or PXE client, connects to the Windows Deployment Service server and downloads the customized Windows PE image across the network. The new computer then loads Windows PE into memory and runs the configuration script, which verifies that the computer's configuration meets the IT department's hardware requirements. If necessary, the script will then back up the user's data to a shared folder on another computer. Then the script runs the Disk Part tool to partition and format the disk. Finally, the script connects to a shared folder containing the Windows Vista setup files and runs the Windows Vista setup program to install the operating system fully unattended. The most powerful and flexible way to distribute Windows PE is within a WIM file. Maintaining Windows PE images in WIM files would be similar to maintaining Windows Vista images. Like Windows Vista, Windows PE can be contained within a WIM file. However, when you store a Windows Vista image in a WIM file, the only way to start Windows Vista is to copy the image to the computer's hard disk. Windows PE, however, can start directly from a WIM file without being copied to a hard disk. This functionality enables you to create a WIM file, store it on bootable media such as the CD or USB flash drive, and start Windows PE directly from that medium. Microsoft uses this ability to load Windows PE into RAM and run Windows PE when you install Windows Vista on a new computer. PXE boot of the WIM image is only supported on Windows PE 2.0 images. After configuring the WDS server, there are some steps to customize it. In this demonstration, we'll import the Windows PE boot images and Windows Vista images needed to deploy the new operating system on your network. Since the Windows PE boot images are smaller and take less time to import into WDS, we'll perform this task first. We'll add the x86 boot image using the console and then look at how to use the command line tool for the same task. When using WinPE boot images, those images must be prepped using ImageX, a command line tool used to manage the Windows Imaging or WIM files. The boot.wim image included on the Windows Vista installation media is not a valid WDS prepped boot image. The Windows Automated Installation Kit does provide boot images you can use in the PE Tools folder. The wizard pulls the metadata information contained within the image to fill in the image name and image description fields. This boot image is only valid for x86 systems. The summary page provides us with the information for verification before WDS imports the image. Once a boot image has been imported into WDS, if you right-click the image, you can delete the file when it is no longer needed or disable the image if users are experiencing problems while you troubleshoot. From the Properties dialog box, you can view information about the boot image, although there is no configurable options other than the image name and description. When you want to use WDS to capture an image from a computer on the network, you can create a Capture Boot Image. This will create a new boot image, which you will then need to import into WDS. The Discover Boot image can be used when you have a computer that does not support PXE. The Discovery boot image is burned to a CD with all the information needed to boot most computers to Windows PE and connect to the WDS server. Since we have computers with different architectures, we'll also need to import a boot image for AMD 64-bit systems. We'll take this opportunity to see how the WDS util command line tool can be used to add an image. You can perform all the tasks available through the WDS console using the WDS utility. The get switch is used to retrieve properties and attributes from WDS servers, devices, images, or image groups. The show images switch returns information on all the image groups, boot images, and install images on the WDS server. Scrolling to the top of this list, we can see the boot image we added using the wizard. Many of the commands that you'll use when working with Windows Vista deployment are long and difficult to remember. The help files that install with the Windows Automated Installation Kit document all the commands and provide step-by-step guidance to simplify the process. A command will add the WinPE boot image for the 64-bit architecture. The syntax includes a switch to show the progress, the add switch, telling the utility to add an image, the image file path, image type, and display name. Now when we run the show images command again, we'll see that we have an x64 boot image available on the server. When we return to the WDS console and refresh the server, we can see both of the boot images. Next, we'll add a Windows Vista WIM to the WDS server. Windows Deployment Services arranges the images in groups, so we'll have to start by creating an image group for our Windows Vista images. The image group is basically a folder on the distribution share that will contain all the image files. You can then set NTFS permissions on the folder to determine which users can receive the image. The console provides access to the security settings for the folder. By default, authenticated users have read and execute permissions on the image group, meaning that anybody can receive the images after authenticating to Active Directory. With the image group in place, we can now add a new WIM-based image. We need to provide the location of the WIM file. On this server, we have placed the Windows Vista installation media on the hard drive. In the sources folder, we find the boot.wim image, which we talked about earlier. This image is a custom boot image that allows the computer to be booted from the DVD to start the Windows Vista installation or other advanced troubleshooting tools. The WIM file we are interested in is used for deploying Windows Vista called install.wim. Note the size of this file. This single image file contains the entire Windows Vista operating system and is the reason why the installation media is only available on DVD. Since Windows Vista is component-based, we are easily able to create different Windows versions by adding or removing components. The file-based WIM images take advantage of single-store technology to save space. We have 7 different Vista images contained within the single WIM file. but the overall size is only a little bigger than one Vista image would be. In older sector-based or disk-based imaging systems, these images would be over 15 gigabytes in size. Clearing the Use Default Name and Description for each of the selected images checkbox allows you to change the name and description of each of the images contained in the WIM file. While testing, you may not use this, but in production, you can name one image accounting, another research, and so on. The summary page provides us with the list of the images that will be imported from the target WIM file. The image import process will take between 10 and 15 minutes to complete. The first image will take the longest to import. Subsequent images should import rather quickly. Now that we understand WDS and the environment, we can take steps to begin using the solution. Now that we have explored the WDS environment, let's look at ways to implement and manage WDS. One of the new features with WDS is a single set of management tools for common server tasks. There is a user interface tool, an MMC console application, that can be used for all common tasks. The command line tool can be used for all tasks and is fully scriptable. Both of these tools use the MGMT API layer. Management of WDS can be done remotely, as we have already shown. Other WDS management utilities include the WDS Capture utility, which is a GUI tool to capture images into the WIM format. There is also a light version of the ImageX capture functionality. ImageX is a simple utility that you run from the command prompt or from Windows PE. The batch scripting features in Windows Vista are versatile, so you can script ImageX to do almost everything with the image you need. ImageX's core features let you capture a volume to a WIM file and apply a WIM file to a volume. You can mount an image, modify the image just as you would any other file or folder on the file system, and then unmount the image. For example, you can mount an operating system image, add device drivers, and then unmount it, which saves time as opposed to rebuilding the disk image from scratch. Other management utilities you may use when working with WDS are the Active Directory Users and Computers extension and the updated version of RI Setup for Windows Server 2003 only. Now we are going to look at the image capture process. Capturing an image starts when creating a WDS capture image from an existing WinPE boot image using the management tools. Next, you will install the operating system on a reference computer. At this point, you can customize the operating system according to your organization's needs. This can include specific applications and drivers used within your company. Next, you need to run sysprep. This will remove the unique security identifiers, or SIDs, from the computer. Then you will boot into the WDS capture image. After running the WDS capture utility to create an image, you can upload the image to a WDS server. When you upload the image to a WDS server, it is placed in the image store. The image store on the server has an easy-to-navigate file structure, with the images stored in image groups. As we mentioned earlier, WIM files use single instancing and compression to reduce the size of the image files. File resources are located within the res.rwm file, which is a resource-only WIM file. When referencing an image, both the name and image group need to be given. As we mentioned, most common tasks can be accomplished through the WDS Management Utility tool. In this demonstration, we'll explore the few steps needed to create an image capture boot file and start the capture process of a client computer. We left the last demonstration with WDS importing two of the images from the default install.wim image on the Windows Vista installation media. This import has completed, so let's review the options available per image. From the General tab, we can change the image name and description. Notice that WDS identifies the image type as an install image. If you are using an unattend.xml file to manage the installation process, you can create an answer file and point this image file to the answer file. Windows Vista unattend.xml files are created using the Windows System Image Manager, which is included with the Windows Automated Installation Kit. For more information on how to customize an unattend.xml file, view the on-demand webcast for Windows Vista deployment tools and technologies. The Version tab lists information from the XML-based image manifest, including image version, language, and product name. We can also control who can access the individual image within the image group. Deny permissions configured here will override the read and execute permissions in the image groups. However, deny permissions on the image group will block users from being able to see the images within the group. Now the image deployment process is rather straightforward. The user Pixie boots his or her computer to the WDS server. In the virtual PC environment, we are using a RIS Pixie bootable floppy disk since the virtual PC does not have Pixie boot functionality. We need to press F12 to accept the Pixie boot server. We are presented with the option of entering the legacy remote installation services or to use the Microsoft Windows Longhorn WinPE product. Choosing the remote installation services option will take us to the client installation wizard to install the Windows Server 2003 operating system. Notice the option for booting to WinPE uses the boot image name we specified on the WDS server. Leaving the default names may be confusing to the end user, so make sure you plan your naming conventions for the boot and install images early in the process. The client will now pull the WinPE image and boot to it while it is stored in RAM. Nothing is being changed on the client computer until the actual image process is complete. Also note that since the client is booting to RAM, the client computer must have enough RAM to hold the WinPE boot image, which is typically about 300 megabytes. The boot process will take too long over our network, so we'll reset the computer to see how we can capture a system image. To capture a configured operating system to a WIM file on the WDS server, we need to create a capture boot image, sysprep the client, and then boot the client using the new capture boot image. This capture boot image will appear in the boot menu we saw on the client, so we should provide a descriptive name. This client has been configured as the base image with all the applications and settings needed by the marketing department. We'll store this capture image with the other WDS boot images for the x86 architecture. The wizard will now extract the image from the source image file and create the new image with instructions to capture the client operating system. On your Windows XP and Windows Server 2003 computers, you can now sysprep the operating system and boot to the new capture image. WDS will not care what operating system is running on the client at this point, since the process of creating the file-based WIM image is the same. However, deploying WIM-based XP or 2003 images may not retain the same functionality as Windows Vista with regards to unattended installation. For the legacy operating system, you had to download the sysprep tools. However, these tools are included within the sysprep directory on Windows Vista. This sysprep command prepares the image for capture by cleaning up various user and computer settings and log files. Since sysprep will automatically reboot the computer, we need to insert our Pixie boot disk again. When we get to the Windows Boot Manager menu, we can now choose the Capture Boot image called Windows Vista Marketing Department. The computer will boot to the Windows PE and automatically start the Windows Deployment Services Image Capture Wizard. This wizard allows you to choose the volume to capture, specify a new image name and description, and the name and location of the WIM file that will be created locally. You can also choose to upload the image directly to the WDS server and place it into a specific image group. If you are uploading the WIM directory to the WDS server, you must authenticate to Active Directory. When transitioning from RIS, there are three modes of WDS operation. The legacy WDS mode is Windows Deployment Services binaries with RIS functionality. In this mode, only OS chooser will be present as the boot operating system. In this mode, the new WDS management tools will not be in use. Instead, legacy RIS utilities will be the only way to manage the server. Legacy Windows Deployment Services mode can only exist on Windows Server 2003. WDS Mixed mode is used to describe a server state where both OS chooser and Windows PE boot images are available. In this mode, access to the old image types of RI Setup and RI Prep will be possible through OS chooser. In addition, it will be possible to access the new WIM format through a Windows PE boot image, Windows Server Longhorn Windows PE boot image with the WDS client. Like legacy mode, WDS mix mode can only exist on Windows Server 2003. WDS native mode describes a WDS server with only Windows PE boot images. In this mode, OS chooser will not be present, and WIM images are the only supported image type to be deployed to clients. Management of the server will occur entirely from within the new WDS management utilities. WDS native mode can exist on both Windows Server 2003 and Windows Server Longhorn. However, on Windows Server Longhorn, this is the only supported WDS server mode. The purpose of allowing a transition between server modes is to provide a clear migration path between the existing RIS functionality and the new dedicated WDS. Historically, there have been three separate deployment solutions. With the Windows Vista and Windows Server Longhorn release, there has been the introduction of the newer version of RIS, Windows Deployment Services. The WDS environment consists of three components: server, client, and management. Server components include a Pixie server and a TFTP server. Client components include a GUI that runs within Windows PE and communicates with the server components to select and install an operating system image. Management with WDS is simplified by combining common management tasks into a single location. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/technet/add-66 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Popular author and MVP William Stanek offers expert insights in this first look into the latest generation of Windows operating systems. Discover the new features and tools for deploying Windows Vista, help secure PCs and user accounts, migrate user settings and data, manage application compatibility, improve reliability, reduce support costs, develop applications, and help users achieve new levels of productivity and success, whether at home or on the job. Introducing Microsoft Windows Vista is the guided preview for IT professionals, business decision makers, early adopters, users, developers, and anyone else who wants to start planning and hit the ground running with Windows Vista. There are also a number of good books from other publishers. Here is the ultimate one-stop desk reference for Windows Vista users. Windows Vista, the complete reference, provides comprehensive coverage of the newest features of the operating system. From setting up for optimum performance and understanding the operating system, to finding files and keeping computer systems secure and free from spyware, this volume covers it all. It's the ideal resource for anyone who wants to truly master Windows Vista. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Pressbooks, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft Certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. Several accreditations are available. Starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP, you can become a fully certified System Administrator, or MCSA, System Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Ian Brackenberry, TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager, to cover these changes in more detail.
TechNet Plus Subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, Client, and Application Software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed newsgroups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public newsgroups. The newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions, and through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.